We're doing the book of Hosea. We're up to what's called the 12th chapter, the 8th Pasuk. The Navi had been calling on the Jewish people to come close to Hashem. Hashem says, I've done so much good for you, and you should return to me. But Hashem says, you don't do that. Pasuk Chet. Kenan biyado mozenei milma la shokahev. Kenan, here this is the source, that the word Kenan means a merchant. There's another pasuk, Kinaneha mozenei milma. The word Kenan over here means a merchant. You are like a merchant who has deceitful weights. Kenan. You Israel, I'm calling upon you to do real tshuva, and that's not true. You don't want to do what I'm asking of you. You're not doing real kindness. Quite the contrary. La'ashokahev, you like to cheat other people. Kenan, you're like a merchant, biyado, who has in his hands mozenei milma, deceitful weights. La'ashokahev, because he likes to deceit, to cheat people out of their money. Vayomer Ephraim, ach ashaoti, matzati only. And Ephraim says, you know why I have found strength? You know why I've become so wealthy? Not because of Hashem. I did it. It's my doing. Kol yegiyai, lo yimtzeu li avon asher chet. Kol yegiyai. You know why I have wealth? Because I've worked so hard. I'm a hard worker, Ephraim says. That's why I've gotten my wealth. Ephraim goes beyond. Hashem says, you do kindness and then you'll be wealthy. Ephraim says, ach ashalti, no, but the reason why I am wealthy, matzati on, is strength, right? Reuven, Yaakov called him reshit oni, my first strength. On in Tanakh is strength. Matzati on li. I found strength for myself, not because of Hashem. I did it. Kol yegiyai. And Ephraim says, all my strength is invested in the wealth, and that's why I have wealth. Lo yimtzu li avon asher chet. And Ephraim claims, you won't find any sin among me. No one can tell I've sinned. I've done a good job covering it up. So Ephraim, not only does he cheat people, he claims, I make my money because I work hard, and no one's going to find out how much I've sinned. Lo yimtzu li avon asher chet. And he treats God as though God were a toy. We could trick him, like God's a child. They control God. Ve'anochi Adonai Elohecha me'eretz Mitzrayim. Hashem says, how can you assume that you're responsible for your own good? I'm the one that watches over you. I personally take an interest in you, the Jewish people. I took you out of the land of Egypt in a most miraculous way. There's no way you could attribute that to your own strength. Didn't you see that I was watching over the details? That I knew what was going on in the world? Od oshivecha va'ohalim kimei moed. And Hashem says, if you think you're the one that's responsible for your financial success, for your military might, Hashem says, okay, there will still come a time when you will again be settlers of tents, you will again be exiled, just as the time you left Mitzrayim. Hashem says, I will continue to watch over you, just like when I took you out of Mitzrayim. But don't think that your military might and your financial success will last. Hashem says, on the one hand, you will be exiled into tents. On the other hand, look at the mercy in the pasuk. At the same time Hashem is decreeing that we'll be punished, He says, I will watch over you even then. Oshivecha, I will settle you va'olim. Within those tents, even then I will be watching over you. V'dibarti al haneviim ve'anochi chazon yubeiti. Hashem says, I've given much prophecy to the prophets. I've spoken to the prophets. V'dibarti al haneviim. V'anochi chazon hil beiti, and I've given them much vision on behalf of you. I've given them much visions so they would come and warn you. Uviyad hanevi'im adameh. And through the prophets, I've given all kinds of allegories. Adameh is like dimayon. I've spoken through allegories to try and get you to return. Now, on the one end, the pasuk over here is speaking as though God speaks through mashal, uviyad hanevi'im adameh, because it's better for us. We have on tradition that this pasuk, uviyad hanevi'im adameh, is a description of prophecy for every prophet other than Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu had a clear vision telling him what to say, which words to say. That's why we say Moshe Rabbeinu, every word of the Torah is holy. Every other prophet saw a vision, a prophetic vision, and then had a prophetic interpretation of the vision. But the interpretation was the prophet's own words. That's why En Shnei Nevi'im Mitnabe'im B'Signon Echad. No two prophets can express a prophecy the same way. We have on tradition that every prophet has to use their own terminology, their own words, and there's an element of the prophet in the prophecy. On the one hand, 10 prophets, 100 prophets can see the same prophecy. Chazal even say that when God gives prophecy, often Hashem will give the same prophecy to a million prophets. All the prophets on the planet will see the same vision, but only one of them will have the responsibility to tell it over. Or sometimes a few of them have that responsibility. No two prophets will say the same words. If they do, we know they are liars. Uviyad ha-Nevi'im adameh, this description of the Navi Hoshea, and in the hands of the prophets, I am an allegory, is a description of every prophecy, other than Moshe Rabbeinu. Every prophet saw a vision, they weren't given exact words. They weren't told, these are the words you should tell the Jewish people, but rather, they were given a vision. And their job as a prophet was to interpret the prophecy, to interpret the vision. Uviyad ha-Nevi'im adameh, in the hands of the prophets, I am an allegory, I am a vision, but not exact words. And that's why the prophets, each prophet being an individual, would use their own words to express the concepts that Hashem gave them. That's why when we speak about prophecy, the message is pivotal, not only the words. If you learn Nevi'im and Ketuvim and you don't understand the message, it's not clear that you did Limud Torah. The learning of the prophecies is the understanding, not just the words. In Torah, we say each word is holy. Yes, sir.
So, when God showed Bezalel the Kelim of the temple, so it could be interpreted in a different way as it was by Bezalel and Nur?
Maybe over there he saw an exact vision of the Kelim. We say, that's what the Rambam writes, that the interpretation is also prophetic. The interpretation has an element of the Navi in it. It has his signon, his style. But the accuracy of the interpretation is because it is the Navi. It is with Nevuah.
עם גלעד אבן עכשיו היו בגלגל שברים זיבחו.
Hashem says, if destruction, if a weary time has come upon Gilad, so it isn't a coincidence. They think that God isn't involved in the world. Hashem says, that's not true. It is because I'm paying them back because of their false ways. In Gilad Aven, if Gilad territory, Gilad is the eastern side of the Jordan, they were the first to suffer. When the enemies attacked, the exile went in stages. And the first stage was that the tribes on the eastern side of the Jordan were exiled. It makes sense militarily. They were severed from the rest of the Jewish people. So first it was the tribes on the eastern side of the Jordan, then the north, and then it went down until finally all 10 tribes were exiled. So the Nabi says, in Gilad Aven, if a weary time has come upon Gilad, Achshavayu, it's not a coincidence, but rather it is because of the Fulzot that was there in Gilad. Bagilgal Shevarim Zibeichu, there in Gilgal, which was the first place that we set up the Mishkan when we entered the land of Israel. The way to remember the travels of the Mishkan is with an acronym. Magshan Gai. Mem, Midbar, the Mishkan was in the desert. Gimel, when we entered the land of Israel, it was in Gilgal. Shin, Shiloh. Nun, Nov. Gimel, Givon. And then Yerushalayim. So Magshan Gai. That's the Rashi tells that the Tiferes Yisrael writes it in his Pirush on Mishnayot. So Hashem says, if Gilad is going through difficult times, they should recognize that it is a direct result of Bagilgal Shevarim Zibeichu, that they went to Gilgal, which was the first place where the Mikdash was established, and they slaughtered animals, Shevarim, oxen, in honor of their idols. Gam Mizbechotam Kegalim Al Talmei Sadai. Hashem says their altars were so plentiful, just like the piles of sand, Al Talmei Sadai, when you furrow through a field, so as you plow, the plow makes piles of sand on each side of the plow. So Hashem says, Gam Mizbechotam, their altars were plenty, kegalim, like the mounds of earth that are plenty throughout the field, al talmei sadai, over the furrows of my field. So Hashem says, they served so much, they were so intent on serving their idols, that's why they were destroyed. Don't think everything's a coincidence. Vayivrach Yaakov sedei Aram, vayavod Yisrael beisha. When Yaakov ran away to Lavan, he ran away to the fields of Aram. Vayavod Yisrael b'isha, he worked for a woman. Who did he work for? He worked for Rachel, right? 7 years, last week's parsha. And then, uve isha shamar, he had to watch the sheep for another woman, another 7 years. For which woman? Really, he was watching for Leah. Lavan played a game. Lavan played a trick with his words. He said, you know what? Yeah, the first 7 years, that's for Leah. The next 7 years, you'll have to work for Rachel. But we know what the real calculation was. He had already worked the 7 years for Rachel. Now he was working the second series of 7 years as a price for Leah. He never wanted to marry Leah. Lavan worded it. He said, Malei Shavua Zot, complete this week of celebration, v'nitena lecha, and then we will give you gamet zo, this girl as well, ba'avodna shel tavod imadi od sheva shanim acherot. In exchange for the work, you'll work another 7 years. But that's a trick. That's a game. He's not working the second set of 7 years for Rachel. He already worked for Rachel. Lavan is forcing him to work the second set of years, and in fact, he's really working for Leah. It's because of Leah that he has to work these other 7 years. Yes?
If this was done by Lavan,
that's we discussed last week's parsha. Hashem wanted it to happen. There's obviously Hashem wanted it to happen. It wasn't the right way to do it. It wasn't the way a person should have done it. But at the end of the day, Hashem wanted Yaakov to be married to Leah and Rachel. So Hashem is saying, you, the northern tribes, you, the tribes on the eastern side of the Jordan, you attribute all your wealth to yourself. I took you out of Egypt. And if you think I'm not watching over you, you will see how I'm watching over you. And I will pay back the people who have worshipped the idols. And the truth is, Hashem says, if you review your history, you will recognize that I've had a very influential role in your history. When Yaakov ran away to Lavan, he was impoverished. He couldn't even give the proper representation that a chassan should give. Lavan tells him, you'll work 7 years. If Yaakov had any financial standing, Lavan couldn't have played that trick with him. Why is it Vayavod Yisrael Beisha that Yaakov had to work for a wife? Because he was completely impoverished. Uveisha Shamar, and then he tricked him and he was able to force him to work another 7 years because Yaakov had no financial standing. And yet, when Yaakov left Lavan, look at how wealthy he was. Can you ignore that? You think you'll be wealthy because you cheat in business. Kenan biyadomos neimyoma. You have illegal measurements, you have cheatful measurements, you think that's how you'll be successful. The Navi says, wait a second, how did Yaakov succeed? Remember, we said the Rambam, but really that's the message of this Nevuah clearly. But the Rambam spells it out. The Rambam says, the message of Yaakov Avinu, one of the messages, is that when a person is honest in business, he could still be successful. People think the only way to succeed in business is cheating. So Yaakov Avinu teaches us you could be honest, and even though the other guy's tricking you again, Hashem will see to it that you make the money you're supposed to make. That's what the Navi is reminding them. Hey, wait a second, how did Yaakov get so wealthy? Because I was taking care of him. So don't think I'm not involved. Don't think that whatever happens in the world is just a matter of fate. Whatever happens, it's a coincidence, God has nothing to do with it. No, I gave him all of that wealth. Navi Hela Adonai Et Israel Mimitzrayim Uvenavi Nishmar. Hashem says, how'd you get out of Egypt? I sent you my prophets. And how'd you make it from Egypt to the land of Israel? I sent you the Navi, I sent you Moshe, and he guided you through the desert. So Hashem says, how could you deny my existence in your life? Just review your history. If I weren't watching over you, you'd have never made it here. So Hashem says, I expect of you to do tshuva. I expect of you to recognize that I want you to live moral lives. I want you to stop cheating one another. And I have the capacity to hurt you. If I had the capacity to help you, I've brought you this far. Take note of that and do tshuva. Bezrat Hashem. We'll pick up over here next week.